through verse 8. James 5, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8. You read with me on the even verses. I'll start in verse 1 because it's odd. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Now, what's the Lord of Sabaoth mean? If you were listening last week,
Lord of hosts.
Verse 5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. See, that's the, what did it say at the end of verse 3 there? Last two words, verse 3.
Last days.
Last days. See? We've been seeing it throughout history. We can see it throughout Scripture, but this is going to come to a big, huge battle in the last days. And it's the ultra wealthy. Now, isn't that something? 2,000 years ago, there were no billionaires. And yet, 2,000 years ago, we were told that's who would be basically taking on Jesus Christ. They are going to be in league with the Antichrist, the final pope, who will head the world religion. They will be in league with him. And when Jesus returns, they think they can defeat him. Crazy, huh, Johnny?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
I think you mean there weren't many billionaires. I'm pretty sure
in their numbers in that day there weren't billionaires. If you take their wealth and extrapolate it out to what it's worth today, there would have been billionaires. But that's you didn't have the billionaire clubs back then. Now you can look that up and tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe there was a certain year where we had our first billionaire, and it was fairly recently. But now, I mean, you know, the Pope isn't, that's not his money. The Vatican had billions, but that's not his money. He's in control of it, but he dies, the next Pope gets it. Billionaire. We're talking with a B. That's why I'm saying there were millionaires, yeah. Yeah, but billionaire. And today we're being oppressed by the billionaires with a B. Yeah. Sound familiar? You know who that is? George Soros, the man who, even on Fox News, you're not allowed to talk about him.
Yep.
You're not allowed to tell the truth about him.
Did you mess with his eyes?
I didn't do that. I stole it. Like any good preacher, I stole it. But I just saw it on the internet. But it just was so, I mean, what's sad about that is his future. That man does not repent. He's a godless Christ hater. And he hates the Church of Jesus Christ. He hates you. And he's spending all of his money to get the crooks freed. All these guys burning and looting. Do you know a lot of them aren't being prosecuted? They're being set free because in cities where George Soros paid to have his people elected as Democrats, and they are letting these looters, people are destroying millions of dollars in property, and his people are in place in these cities to let him go. James 5. Yeah.
John D. Rockefeller, 1916.
But Yeah, you could go back, and like I said, you can take the amount of money and extrapolate it into today's terms and maybe find a billionaire. But as far as actually having $1 billion, 1916, as an individual. Nations, that's another story. But so crooked, oppressive, and yet completely deceived. These people come from a very evolutionary idea of the world. They don't believe in a creator God. And so, and by the way, that explains, I believe it explains a lot of the TV preachers. I think a lot of these guys are just atheists. And they are bilking the little old ladies out of their money and taking advantage of people because they don't believe in Judgment Day. And some of them have admitted it. And we have a video of one of them that he was a child evangelist. And then when he got older, you know, he finally got sick of it. And I'm trying to think of his name. I can't think of it. We watched the...
Sam Kinison?
Well, that's one. Yeah, Sam Kinison did it. And he made a lot of money as a comedian blaspheming after that. But this is a... I'll have to look it up. But he did a documentary where he went into churches and put on his show, and they videotaped it. The churches thought he was just doing his ministry. They didn't know that he was actually doing interviews before he'd go in. He said, "Now watch, when I do this, this is why." And he says, "You got to get them all pumped up. You got to get them all jumped and get the blood pumping, the adrenaline going and everything. And then you just start speaking in tongues." And he said, he admitted he's not speaking in tongues, but he's just making the, "I said, you know."
Was it Marjo?
Yeah, Marjo, that's him.
Marjo Ross.
Yeah. There's a documentary just called Marjo where he does all this. And I've heard stories of other preachers do the same thing. And after their services, they'll go back in the back and make fun of the people that they were laying hands on and everything. If you're an atheist, though, you don't believe that there's going to be a judgment day, right? So it makes sense. And that's the same thing about these billionaires. You know, Bill Gates, his father, along with Prescott Bush, the father of George H.W. Bush, they're largely responsible for the baby murder going on today. They're the ones, along with several others, who talked Eisenhower into putting people on the Supreme Court because Eisenhower was a military man. He didn't know anything about judges and things like that. And so Eisenhower put guys on the court who ended up legalizing abortion. Yeah, he had no idea what he was doing to his credit, but he didn't work hard enough to make sure he's putting decent people. They did that to Reagan, too, with Sandra Day O'Connor, you know. So back to our text in verse 8. It says, "And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance, and all my labors, they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin." That's quite a boast, isn't it? Does it sound familiar, though? You just afraid I was going to put Michael Moore's face up there again, weren't you? Laodicea. Let's look at it. Revelation 3. Look at how similar, just in case some of you might be saying you remember, but you're like, "Yeah, I don't remember that." Revelation 3, verse 14. "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's vomit. That's not just spitting like water out of your mouth. That's why? Because that's what an abomination is. It makes God sick. Now read verse 17 with me. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Listen, folks. Every Christian, every church that isn't preaching the biblical gospel, calling on men to repent and believe that gospel, as Bible-believing Christians, every one of those outside of that I just described are Laodiceans. And they make God sick. And sadly, in our generation, that's the mass majority of Christians today. And I'm constantly under that kind of, I don't want to use the word attack, but I don't, it's not really attack, it's just words but they're constantly sending their emails and posts and things and phone calls and letters. And they're so nasty and filthy, I don't share them with you. I've shown Jenny a couple just so if somebody says I'm lying, she can say she's witness to it. But phone calls, nasty and everything. Why? They don't even claim, I'm a Christian, but you blah, 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 blah. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's like some Christian. Blaspheming even, you know. That's what we're dealing with. It says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see, and so forth. Listen, these people don't think that they're naked and blind. They think they're saved. And they don't even believe the gospel. But I'm a good person, and my Jesus would never send anybody to hell. See? My Jesus. They make up a Jesus. And it's a figment of their own imagination and of their own wicked heart. This is also demonstrated every time a wicked celebrity or politician dies, as we've seen recently. This woman was a wicked, wicked woman.
I would leave the flag clear up at the top. Not
oh, you're talking about the half, but yeah. Oh, yeah. Amen. They're running a movie marathon, Jessica, just in case you want to see these. It's called On the Basis of Sex and RBG. It's the name of the movie. They're putting it back in the theater so all the libtards can go worship their little goddess. Because why? She was for killing the unborn. She's for sodomite marriage. She's for socialism. She's for identity politics, and if she had her way, we wouldn't have a republic. Yeah, Johnny?
Just wanted to mention, the first time I saw that picture up there, I didn't realize it was a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Now, she does have her hair pulled back, so it's not... She doesn't have that short, but that's pretty short, though. Doug?
If she was for Trump, it would just be a war.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't talk about Scalia like this when he died, or was possibly murdered. But this is another headline. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, champion of women's rights. When they say that, they mean she helped them kill their babies. When they talk about champion of women's rights, she did do a few other things, but the main thing was the women can kill their own children. Champion of women's rights. Media celebrates Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's life and legacy. This is a media, this is a television station reporting the fact. Across television and streaming services, the life and legacy of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is already front and center. And it's just hilarious. I got to throw this in there. They're saying Trump's terrible because it was her dying wish that she be replaced by the next president. And Trump is so mean, he's not going to even abide by her dying wish. And like I think it was Matt Gaetz that said, I haven't found the dying wish clause in the Constitution yet. Your dying wish doesn't matter. But this is the real thing. It's hard to read, I know, but I'm going to tell you, she's not a hero. She was evil. She was wicked. She worked to legalize killing newborns, draft women into combat, decriminalize prostitution, legalize sex for 12 years and up, lowering the age of consent, integrate sexes in the prisons, which is just insane. She wanted to get rid of Boy and Girl Scouts. Because, you know, the boys being all just boys and everything. She wanted to create government child care and put Olivia out of business. She wanted to adopt sex-neutral language, eliminate the concept of the traditional family. She's a Marxist, and Marxism wants to get rid of the nuclear family. Black Lives Matter, Marxist wants to get rid of the nuclear family. She wanted to eliminate the Mann Act, essentially making female trafficking for prostitution and debauchery legal. She saw it as a woman's right to her body, so that she should be able to sell her body. That's your, that, you just remember all that when you see your Democrats in the news media on ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN, etc., and some of the Fox people, shame on them, just praising this woman. But this is what her funeral choir is going to look like. I don't know if some of you can see that, but it's based on this person. We're not sure if it's a man or a woman. And still haven't found out whether it's a man or a woman. But at Trump's inauguration, she was on TV, and they showed her while he's giving his speech. She's saying, "No!" And so someone superimposed her face on the entire choir. I just thought that was too good.
That was her at Trump's thing?
Huh?
That was her?
It's sad because all the while this is going on, she's
burning. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when she died, and I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea, I'm not celebrating her death. No. The woman's in hell. I mean, what? You're not allowed to say the truth anymore, but that's the truth. She rejected Jesus Christ. She was blatant about it. She was right up to her dying breath. Rejected Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe this book? Then she's in hell. And so to celebrate her life, just Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." It's a line in the song we sang, "Laodicean Age," that put darkness for light and light for darkness. 2 Timothy 3:1 and also the end of verse 3 starts out by saying, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And one of the things about these perilous times is they are despisers of those that are good. They love the wicked people and despise those that are good. They loved Donald Trump before he started running for president. Loved him. Here's a picture of Al Sharpton looking at Donald Trump like he was in love. I mean, had these big eyes and looking at him. There's a meme that says, "Find someone that looks at you the way Al Sharpton is looking at Donald Trump." Because he looked like he was in love with the man. But as soon as he came out and ran for president, said he was against killing the babies, against the gay marriage thing, and against socialism, all that, they hate him. So back to our text. Verse 9 says, "And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles, as in the days of the solemn feast." So when the dust settles, when all this is done and God's done dealing with everything, Israel will be back in their land. They're in their land partially now, but they don't have everybody. All the Jews aren't back. They don't have a temple. They don't have the Messiah. When the dust settles, that's all going to happen. Israel will not only be back in the land partially, all the Jews that are alive will be back in Israel. All will have been saved, Romans 11:25, and they will have not the tribulation temple that is really a farce. They will have the millennial temple described in Ezekiel 40 through 44. And they will have the Messiah and King David on thrones right there. Amen. That's going to happen in the millennium after Jesus returns. So that points us again forward to the near return of Jesus. Jesus is only a little more than 7 years away from returning to this earth. If the rapture happened right now, we would go up, and then whatever amount of time between the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant, add that to 7 years, and that's how long it'll be before Jesus comes back. Think of that. He could potentially be here before the end of 2027. The millennium could start that soon. Could. I'm not date setting. Somebody will take that and take the clip and say, "Oh, look at this heretic." But I'm not saying, I'm saying that's possible. No matter where you are, go out 7 years and give it a couple of months. And it's going to be about, you know, we don't know if it's going to be a couple of months, could be a couple of years, but 7 years and a couple of months could be how far out the return of Jesus is. The rapture could happen before I take my next breath. So verse 10, he says, "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." Now, Jessica, we have an English teacher, can tell you what are similitudes.
Oh, wow. I'm guessing that means similarities.
You're guessing. See, I thought we had it, since we had an English teacher, we can settle that. I'm sorry to put you on the spot like that. No, but the word similitude. Yes, Jenny.
Oh, this is attributes of nature.
Good guess.
Qualities of appearance and similitude of substance. Let us make man in our image. So man in our similitude.
Similitude, yeah. It's like me and my brother. If you ever saw my brother, you'd say, wow, very similar. Now, Jenny, the only reason I didn't take what she says is because she said, I'm guessing. And we were kind of looking for a little more authority. But she did guess it right. So we'll give her credit there. Yeah, Jill?
I was going to say, I've taught them when there's a word like that, they don't know the meaning, to look for a word that's similar.
Sometimes that works. But this is English. But we're talking about English here. It does, yeah. So isn't it amazing with so much said? Look what he said there in verse 10. He's talking about how he's spoken by the prophets. He's multiplied visions. We don't even know how many visions. There's visions outside the Scripture, we know. And there's prophets that didn't tell us what visions they had. You know, Gad, we have very little information from Gad. But, I mean, there's all kinds of prophets in the Bible, and there's other prophets we don't even know their names. And yet, after all that, so few seem to care. It's hard to strike up a conversation. Tell us, John, how easy it is to strike up a conversation with somebody about the Lord coming back. How many do you have this happen all the time? I don't. I live with someone I can talk to anytime, and she loves talking. But outside of that, go just walking around, hanging out places, talk about the return of Jesus. Most of them, I think, you're a kook. And that in itself is a fulfillment of Peter's prophecy, who said in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? On two occasions just in the last year, I've literally had someone look me in the eye and say, you Christians have been talking about Jesus coming back for 2,000 years. And I open my Bible and say, you're fulfilling prophecy. That's exactly what Jesus, well, through Peter, tells us people are going to do. Where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It's just amazing. We could stand there for a while, but we got to move on. Verse 11, is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. In other words, Israel's religious sacrifices have become meaningless in God's eyes. And that's what, if you go to an apostate church where they don't believe the Bible, they don't preach the gospel, you can give all the money you want, you can clean the place, you can teach Sunday school, you can do whatever, God's not impressed.
No.
But if you're in a Bible-believing church, He's impressed even if you're cleaning the toilet.
Amen.
That's the difference. So, and then back to Israel in 700 B.C., they have this reminder in verse 12. And Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept what? So God's reminding them of their agrarian beginnings and of their the promises made to Jacob. And fittingly, Jacob came away with two wives. Just like we see now, Rachel gave us what is now Israel and all the other tribes. Judah came from Leah. That's in the book of Genesis. Jacob fled to Syria to get his wives. Well, he went for one wife. And Laban tricked him, and so he had to work 7 years plus 7 years. And if you look at the screen, you'll see their names, Rachel and Leah. Now, right from Leah came Judah, and it's just fitting that Jacob had two wives, and they basically represent what we see in the end. Leah gave us Judah, and Rachel represents Israel.
It's Genesis 29, if you want to look at that later.
Yeah, but it's just referring to that story that we read about in the book of Genesis. And so then verse 13 says, and by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. So you see, God, if you go back and read that about Jacob, he spoke to him and he gave him visions. And then he raises up who? Moses. A prophet that brought Israel out of Egypt was Moses. And by a prophet was he preserved. So God says, I've spoken by prophets. I've multiplied visions. It goes all the way back to how this whole thing began with Jacob and with Moses and visions and a prophet named Moses. And then verse 14, read that with me. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. So they basically, instead of showing appreciation and obeying the Lord, we'll quote J. Vernon McGee to close the study. He says, his blood shall rest upon his own head, for he is guilty and deserves death. Blood had been shed profusely, and the guilt of his sin remained upon him. You have to remember there were Jews in Israel offering their children as sacrifices, human sacrifices on the arms of Moloch. They were selling their children, just like the sex trafficking and the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing going on today. They were selling their children for sex. They were selling them for a bottle of wine or probably a case or whatever to get drunk and all that kind of thing. And J. Vernon McGee says, Israel had turned from God, and therefore he must judge them. You could say, America has turned from God, and therefore he must judge them. And I say this over and over. You have to remember when you read the Bible about the end times, after the rapture, no Christians in the United States of America. There will be people saved throughout the tribulation, but the moment after the rapture, no Christians. I believe they'll turn on the Jews by the majority. And all those New York Jews are going to hop on planes. And they're going to be out of here. America will fall under that curse and be destroyed. And the Bible says he'll destroy the nations. He doesn't make exceptions. That's coming, but if you're saved, you don't have to worry about that. Have Jenny come. We're going to sing a song with just her playing the guitar. As she comes, I just have this closing thought. Those who don't learn the Bible are doomed to fulfill its warnings. You heard this, the saying that those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Well, it's more true about those who don't learn the Bible. They are doomed to fulfill its warnings. Amen. Let's just close by singing, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Streamers here, there, in the air. One, two, three. See you here.